Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. Well, it is an honor to be able to celebrate the class of 2024 this morning. And so as I start out, I want to direct these first words to our graduating class. Graduation day is quickly upon you. And this is a day that your parents have probably looked forward to, but maybe also dreaded a little bit because it's tough watching your children grow up. But the reality is, over the years, your parents haven't been just raising children. Your parents have been raising adults. All of their investment, all of their hard work has been so that you can grow, not just into the young adult that you are today, but that you would grow into the adult that you will one day become. Now, one thing that I've learned over the years is that when I turned 18 or when I graduated from high school, I had not yet arrived. Although I felt like I had arrived at 18 years old. I felt like I had arrived when I graduated from high school. Man, I felt smart at that time. But what I've realized over the years is that I was not as smart as I thought I was. And I've also learned over the years that I still have not arrived. And in fact, I don't know that we ever quite arrived, because there is always more to learn, because growing is a continual thing. And so I would encourage the class of 2024 this morning, make it your effort, make it your goal to never stop learning, never stop growing. So we're in the middle of this series right now titled Growing in Every Way. And as we're going through this, we're walking through the second half of the book of Ephesians. What we've seen in our passages so far, in the series so far, is this call for the local church body to be growing spiritually, but also for the individual believer to be growing spiritually as well. And I think that it's important for us to recognize, just as we are never done growing in this life, just as we are never done learning in this life, that the same is true in our Christian walk as well. We are to never stop learning. We're to never stop growing as individual believers. We are to continue to learn, and we are to continue to grow from the moment that we give our lives to Christ until the day that we stand before Jesus face to face. We are to continue to learn, and we are to continue to grow. And so just as I gave this encouragement to our graduates this morning, let me now give this encouragement to every single believer in this room. Make it your goal, make it your effort to never stop learning, never stop growing. And so as we look at our passage today, we're going to see this continued call for the believer to grow in every way. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 25 through 32 this morning. Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. Now, as you're turning there, let me set this up for you. As we look at our passage this week starts out the same way that our passage last week started out. It starts out with the word therefore. And so when we see that word therefore, it's a reminder that we need to look back and see what this is pointing back to. And so if you remember last week, the focus was this call for the believer to take off the old self and to put on the new self. In other words, because we have come to Christ, there is an expectation that our lives are going to look different. Now, don't be mistaken. This call to take off the old self and to put on the new self is not a call for the unbeliever to do something in order to be saved. Rather, this is a call for the believer, for those who have given their lives to Christ, for those who are saved. It is a call for us to take off the old self and to put on the new self because we have been saved. Now, if you have not yet given your life to Christ, then understand the call for you today is to turn from your sins and to turn to Jesus that you might receive his forgiveness, that you might receive that salvation from Jesus as the Lord over your life. Jesus is the one and the only way for us to be saved. And so the call for the unbeliever is to turn to Jesus today. But again, if you have been saved, then once again, we have this reminder that we are to take off the old self and we are to put on the new self. So if you remember last week, I gave this analogy of taking off our old, dirty, stinky clothes and putting on new, fresh clothes. This morning, let me give you an illustration of purchasing a new car. So imagine that you drive a clunker of a car. Your engine has problems, the body has problems, the car's practically falling apart. So you drive this clunker of a car to the dealership to purchase a new vehicle. And if you've ever purchased a new vehicle, you know that it is not a short process. And so you go through that process of test driving cars on the lot, and then you go through the process of filling out all of the paperwork, applying for the loan. You've got to sign all of the stuff, right? It takes several hours usually to purchase a new car. So imagine going through all of that process. You've purchased a new car. You have the keys in your possession to the new car. Imagine now getting back in that clunker of a car and driving that off the lot, driving that clunker of a car back home with you. I realize, again, just like last week, this is kind of a ridiculous scenario, and yet this is what we do all the time in our Christian walk. We've been given a new life in Christ, and yet all too often what we do is we go back to our sin and we continue living the same clunker of a life that we've always lived. Question is, why do we do this? Why do we turn back? Here's the reality. We go back to the old self because we still love our sin. We still love our sin. You know, sometimes when we trade in our old car for a new car, there may be some sentiment that's wrapped up with that old car. There may be some family memories that's wrapped up with that old car. And so we may feel a little sad driving off the lot, saying goodbye to our old car, even though we have this new car. But listen, if you love your new car even more than your old car, then you won't have any problem saying goodbye to that old car. So a little more than a year ago, Sarah and I, we traded in my car for a new truck. And it was really time when we did. My car started having problems the week that we moved here to Stockdale. And so I kind of just made by with that car for a couple of years until I was able to trade it in. And so we went, and a truck has really been my dream car since high school. If you remember, I've shared this before. In high school, I drove a 1972 Chevy pickup truck. When I graduated from high school, I had to sell that truck when we moved up to Oklahoma. And so from that point of me selling that truck, I was really just buying my time until I was able to afford a new truck. And so the time finally came that we were able to buy that new truck. And let me tell you, before we were even done buying the truck, I already loved this new truck. I already loved it way more than that old car that I took to the dealership to trade in. There was nothing that I hated about the old car. I liked the old car enough while I was driving it, but I loved the new truck even more. And so I had no issue saying goodbye to this old car because I loved the new one even more. My love had changed. I want you to hear me this morning. Our love has to change. We need to fall out of love with our sin and fall in love with our Savior. We need to fall out of love with our fleshly desires and fall in love with righteousness. We need to fall out of love with our addictions and fall in love with Jesus. Our love has to change. And when our love changes, we'll see that it's no longer a struggle to take the old self off. It's no longer a struggle to put the new self on because we love the new self more than we ever loved the old self. So once again, with this word, therefore, we're reminded of this call to take off the old self and to put on the new self. And so as we look at our passage now, everything that we read is connected to this call to take off the old self and to put on the new self. So with that in mind, let's read our passage now, Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. It says, therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he is to do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for the building up, someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you, along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting what we see there after the word, therefore, really the end of verse 25. It says, because we are members of one another. Now, it's important to remember once again that Paul is writing this letter to a local church body in Ephesus. And so he's saying to the local church body in Ephesus, to all of the members, we are members of one another. And we could say the same thing here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, especially if you're a member here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. We could say that we are members of one another. We make up the same body. And so this is a reminder once again that what goes on with an individual member of the body has an impact on the body as a whole. Therefore, no matter what we do within the body, we want to make sure that we are doing something that is going to benefit the body, not something that is going to harm the body. And so once again, this section, it's a call for the believer within the local church to take off the old self and to put on the new self. And so if we are going to take off the old self and if we are going to put on the new self, what we will find is that putting on the new self, it impacts every single area of our life. And Paul really highlights three different areas in this passage, and we're going to walk through those right now. So first, when we put on the new self, our hands will be impacted. Our hands will be impacted. Let's look at verse 28 again. It says, let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he is to do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. Our hands will be impacted. So there's something that probably every single one of us in this room has in some form or fashion. It's called the internet. Right? We either have it on our phones or we have it in our homes. But more than likely, every single one of us has the internet, and the internet can be such a valuable tool, a beneficial tool for us. We can use it to connect with friends and family, other people on social media. We can use it to do online banking. We can use it to purchase items and have them shipped directly to our door. The internet can be a very beneficial tool, but there's also a dark side to the internet. The internet can be used to scam people out of money. It can be used to send viruses to computers. It can be used to commit heinous crimes. The internet's a beneficial tool, but it's also something that can be misused. And so as we think about what Paul is saying here, he's reminding us that God has given each of us a wonderful tool, our hands. Our hands are a gift from God, and our hands, they can be used for good things like work and blessing others, or our hands can be used for evil. We can use our hands to harm others. We can use our hands to steal. And so what Paul is saying here is don't misuse this gift. Don't take this gift that God has given you and use it to harm others. Don't misuse this gift. He takes it a step further because he says, listen, you might be tempted to use your hands for selfish purposes, but God is calling us to use our hands for selfless purposes. Because when you work, not only are you going to be able to take care of yourself, not only are you going to be able to take care of your family, but when you work, you might even have an excess amount that you are able to use to bless those in need, to take care of those in need. And so you'll find that not only are you taken care of, but others within the church body are taken care of at times as well. And so he says, don't misuse this gift. Instead, use this gift for the glory of God. And that's really the call for each of us here. Every single believer is called to use the gift of our hands for the glory of God, not to harm others, not to even to bring glory and honor to ourselves, but to use our hands to bless others and to bring glory and honor and God. So let's use this gift for the glory of God. And when we use our hands for the glory of God, what we find is not only are we going to be blessed, but the church as a whole will be blessed as well. So when we put on the new self, our hands will be impacted. Second, our mouth will be impacted. Let's look at verse 29 again. It says, no foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. Our mouth will be impacted. Now, as we look at this verse, that foul language is how the CSB translates this verse. Other translations say unwholesome talk or a corrupt word. And certainly I would say that vulgar or coarse language would be included in this unwholesome talk and this corrupt word. But I would also say that it's not limited to that. But as we do think about it, it including vulgar and coarse language, really, we could say, you know what? Paul is calling us to a higher standard, just like last week as we saw that, yeah, our lives are to look different than the world. In the same way, our language is to look different from the world. In other words, not only should our lives look different, but our language should sound different. And I think this is a good reminder for us in the world that we live in today. Not only should our lives look different, but our language should sound different. But again, this is, while it does include vulgar and coarse language, it is not only vulgar and coarse language that this includes as it talks about foul language or unwholesome talk. In fact, I would say that we could pair what we see here in verse 29 with what we see up there in verse 25 when Paul said, putting away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor. You see, not only are bad words unwholesome for us to speak, but it's also unwholesome for us to lie to and to lie about one another. In other words, it is corrupt for us to gossip and to slander each other. Now, Paul was likely addressing a specific issue of gossip and slander within the church there in Ephesus. Remember, Paul has been addressing disunity within the local church body there because that body of believers was made up of believing Jews and believing Gentiles. And so there was disunity within that church, and so there was likely some gossip and slander that was occurring within that church as well. And so Paul is addressing this issue there, but even though he's likely addressing a specific issue within that local church body, I want you to know that this truth is still applicable for us today. Here in 2024, it is corrupt for us to gossip and to slander each other. But we might ask this question, well, what do I do if someone else is coming to me with gossip? What do I do if someone else is coming to me with slander? I would simply say, don't get dragged into someone else's sin. Don't get dragged into someone else's sin. At the very minimum, don't allow someone else's gossip to continue beyond you. Let it end with you. Break the chain. Let it stop with you. Don't pass it on. But another option, you might take it a step further and redirect that person and say, you know what, maybe you need to go directly to that person. Instead of coming to me and talking to me about that person, maybe you need to go and talk directly to that person. Address whatever issue it is that you might have with them. Go and address it directly with them. So don't get dragged into someone else's sin. So instead of gossiping and slandering, instead of using our mouths for harmful purposes, what we find is that we can use our mouths for helpful purposes. Because what we can do is we can use our mouths to build up those around us. So back when I was serving at First Baptist Watauga, we had a member of our church. His name was Kirby. Kirby is still a member at First Baptist Watauga. Kirby, before he retired, he was a full-time minister. He served in several different ministerial roles at different churches over the course of his ministry, and that was up in Oklahoma. Now, Kirby, he was a huge encouragement to our staff. He always intentionally encouraged our staff. He would send us text messages to encourage us. He would post things on social media to encourage us. He might stop by the office to just encourage us in person. But because he had been in ministry himself, he wanted to be an intentional encouragement to us. Now, certainly, this call is not simply to encourage the ministers, but it doesn't hurt, all right? Really, we are to be intentional encouragers with everyone. We are to intentionally encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so what Paul is saying here is don't use your mouth to tear others down. Instead, intentionally encourage. Use your mouths to build others up. Intentionally encourage. And that is a great call for us to be intentional encouragers. Now, I want you to hear what this does not mean. Being an intentional encourager does not mean intentionally overlooking someone's sin. A brother or a sister in Christ, someone who has professed faith in Christ. Listen, if we have a brother or sister that is caught up in sin, Scripture tells us we are to go to that brother or sister in Christ and call them out of that sin. Listen, we may not want to call them out of the sin because we might think, well, it's going to hurt their feelings or it might offend them. But listen, it's going to do more harm to the body for someone to remain in sin than for us to address that sin. Now, as we address that sin, we're not to gossip about them, we're not to slander them, and we are to do it in love. We are to speak the truth in love, and we can intentionally encourage them to come out of that sin and to walk in obedience to the Lord. So we want to be intentional encouragers. So when we put on the new self, our hands are going to be impacted, our mouth will be impacted, third and finally, our hearts will be impacted. What we see in verses 31 and 32, bitterness, anger, and wrath versus compassion and forgiveness, these are really issues of the heart. Because bitterness and anger are things that can easily grow deep roots within us if we allow them to. This is why Paul says up in verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. Really, what Paul is saying is don't let your anger grow. Don't give it the time to grow. Don't give it the food to grow. Don't give it the space to grow. Don't let your anger grow. Because what happens is when we let our anger grow, our anger turns into either bitterness or wrath. And bitterness and wrath always lead to destruction. They can lead to destruction in our own individual lives. They can lead to destruction with those around us. They can lead to destruction within the church as a whole. So don't let your anger grow. Paul says there's another way. Instead of allowing your anger to grow, instead of becoming bitter And instead of responding in wrath, you can offer compassion and forgiveness. A great example of this compassion and forgiveness is Elizabeth Elliot, the widow of Jim Elliot. And I've talked about Jim and Elizabeth Elliot before. Jim and Elizabeth Elliot were missionaries in Ecuador, taking the gospel to the Aucan people. Before Jim was ever able to share the gospel with the Aucan people, however, that tribe of people killed him. Now, Elizabeth Elliot could have gotten angry, and, you know, truth be told, she probably did get angry for a time. But she didn't let that anger grow. Instead, she decided to show that tribe compassion and forgiveness, and she went and she lived with the Aucan people. And she continued to love the Aucan people, and she continued to share the gospel with the Aucan people until every single one of them came to profess Christ as Lord. Here's the deal. Anger is what they expected. Compassion is what they received. So here's the reality of the world that we live in today. Anger is what's expected. Everyone is getting offended. Everyone is getting upset. Anger is what's expected. So here's Paul's challenge to the church. Do the unexpected. Instead of getting angry, offer kindness. Instead of getting offended, offer compassion. Instead of being bitter, offer forgiveness. Do the unexpected. Why? Because God did the unexpected for us. When we deserved His wrath, He sent Jesus into this world to go to the cross for your sins and mine, that we might receive not His wrath, but we might receive His righteousness, that we might receive His forgiveness, that we might receive His compassion. God did the unexpected with us, so let's do the unexpected as well. Let's practice compassion and forgiveness. And this practice of compassion and forgiveness, listen, it begins right here among our brothers and sisters in Christ. It begins with us as we practice compassion and forgiveness with one another. And then what we do is we take this compassion and forgiveness outside of this place and we offer compassion and forgiveness in the world around us. You see, putting on the new self, it changes things for us. It impacts every single part of our lives. It impacts our mouths, it impacts our hands, and it impacts our hearts. You see, when we grow in Christ, we begin to change. Why? Because we're not just growing in one way, we are growing in every way. Now, maybe you would say that you aren't growing in every way. You aren't growing in your walk with Christ because you have never put your faith in Christ. You've never trusted in Jesus as your Lord. If that's you, then I want to give you the opportunity to respond this morning. So in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond today. And if you're here and you would say, that's me. I've never trusted in Christ as my Lord. But today I recognize that while I deserved wrath because of my sin, God has offered Jesus that I might be forgiven, that I might be saved. And today, I'm ready to place my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond. I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, I've given my life to Christ. But truth be told, I have not been putting on the new self. I've still been walking in the old self. Maybe there's a sin that you're still clinging to. Maybe you need to confess that sin to the Lord today. If that's true for you, then I would invite you to do that. You can do that right where you're at. If you'd like for someone to pray with you, then I'd be more than happy to do that. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, I've given my life to Christ already, but I've never taken that next step of baptism, to publicly profess faith in Christ through baptism, just as God calls every single believer to do. If you've never taken that next step, but you're ready to make that commitment this morning, then I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Now maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've taken that next step of baptism by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to become a member of this church body. If that's you, then I'd love to talk with you as well. I would invite you to come as well. Today, we can make that commitment together, and today you can become a member here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. But whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.